I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to the show this week. I am actually sitting in New York City. I am recording this from the Marriott Marquis here in Times Square. 1 week every year, I am in New York. Usually it's in the end of September. This happens to be in October. And it's a four-day event here in New York City at the Marriott Marquis, talking about everything from technologies to innovations to new things going on. Usually I host a breakfast for the listeners. This year, with everything going on, it just kind of got away from me. So unfortunately, I was not able to host the breakfast again this year for the listeners, but I will try to do better next time. What I want to talk about today is yesterday I gave a talk. The audience, a lot of it was congressional staffers. So these are the people who work for the congressmen and the senators, representatives and the senators up on Capitol Hill in D.C. And this was, maybe 40 of them. And then there was probably another 40 people in the room. So it was a pretty small, intimate group. I'm not going to quote specifically what happened because it's agreed that it would be off the record, so I'm not going to get into the details of what they asked. What I will share with you is really the topics that I prepared to talk to with them during yesterday morning. Nothing in that is confidential, and in fact, if you're a regular listener of the show, you've heard me talk about these things in the past. So I just thought they were interesting. They kind of came with a list of things that the audience wanted to hear, so I prepared some slides. I actually showed one of the near-future videos, the vision videos that I do, to help convey kind of what is coming. But let me just jump in. There were basically three key topics that they were interested in, and there was an underlying topic, one being around innovation. And what are those innovations that are coming that are going to have the biggest impact on our lives, our children's lives, our grandkids' lives, lives going forward? And that was kind of the underlying theme. So I talked a little bit about what those innovations are. Second topic that I talked about specifically was around education. And what is it we need to do in the education sphere to prepare our kids and our grandkids, et cetera, to be well-skilled, well-equipped for the jobs of the future. And then the third one was around healthcare. What is going on with innovations specifically applied in the healthcare world, given everything going on with regards to health insurance, aging population, et cetera? So again, the three topics. They didn't, they were a little bit more organized yesterday in the speech, but I wanted to share just these three highlights around technologies and innovations that are going to have the biggest impact. People tend to always want to hear about what's new, what's coming up, have you heard about X, those kinds of things. Then talk about education, and then we'll talk about healthcare. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is I'm going to run through all three of these And again, this is just me by myself sitting here in the lovely Marriott Marquis, New York City. But I thought I'd share with you, again, the thoughts that came from this speech that I made yesterday. So let's jump right in. So what are the innovations that I think are going to have the biggest impact on our lives, our children's lives, our grandkids' lives, etc.? Well, you really can't address that topic without talking about artificial intelligence. Now, I've talked about this not too long ago in a past show. I'm not going to harp on the same things that I brought up at that time. I mean, the question I get is do I agree with Elon Musk and Elon's doom and gloom? AI is going to ruin our lives. We're going to have a Terminator Skynet type situation that's going to wipe out the world. And I'm not a believer in the doom and gloom piece. I think my view of the artificial intelligence sphere is that, you know, you may not realize it, but it's already impacting your life today. The role and the use of things like machine learning is growing at such a rate and applied to so many things that you, again, may not even be aware of. Everything that you touch and interact with, every piece of social media, whether it's, you know, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, all are deploying AI technologies so they can extract out of that as much of your behavioristics as possible, because that allows them to provide, you know, a better experience, better targeted advertising, etc. So albeit people tend to think about AI as being something that's coming, it's not coming, it's here, particularly with relation to machine learning. This does open up, though, a big can of worms, and that is around ethical artificial intelligence. What is the role of an ethical AI versus just AI? And what's interesting, there's a number of universities, for instance, that are actually starting AI programs with ethics embedded in it. There's some universities that are now creating an ethics course that all of their engineering students are going to be required to take. If you go back, if you hop on over to PhilMcKinney.com to my blog, or you go back through the show archive, you'll come across shows where I talk specifically about ethics, ethical innovation. And actually, I'm working on a much bigger piece around this, both for the blog and for the radio show, with regards to what is really the whole issue behind the ethics and ethical leadership and ethical technologies and ethical innovations and things like ethical artificial intelligence. And most recently, I've been, you know, having a number of conversations with experts in a variety of fields, specifically around ethics and morals. What's the difference, and what are each of their roles, and how we make a decision of right versus wrong? And just because something can be innovated doesn't mean that it should be innovated. So AI, ethical AI, topic that I talked about, and it generates a lot of conversation, and it's one that I particularly wanted to plant with people who are in leadership roles, who can think about it themselves and try to understand what it is, and, you know, particularly if it's a regulatory or legislative issue around can you legislate ethics? Can you legislate morals? You can't. But how do we ensure that the innovations that we are coming up with are not going to have some big detrimental impact to people and people's lives? Another innovation in technology that I talk about a fair amount here most recently is around light field displays. Light field displays. What is it about light field displays? Light field displays are what some may refer to as volumetric. It's an image that's projected off of the display that therefore has depth, does not require any special glasses, that is high resolution, full color, and you can walk around it. So you literally has that volume feel to it. We actually portray light field displays in a recent vision video we did called The Near Future Ready for Anything. You can find it over on YouTube. You can just look for near future, ready for anything, and this video will come up. And we show it in a variety of different contexts of how, what it would be in a school, what it would be in a work life, et cetera. But we think light field displays, or I believe firmly that light field displays will become the new way we look at information. It will be the new way that we will consume our content. We will watch entertainment. It is that transformative. Now, it's still many years away. Many of the displays today are relatively small. And there's private businesses, there's universities, there's government agencies that are funding a lot of work in light field displays. And the last item I talked about was next generation storage. This is storage that's extremely high density. You know, the days of you having a hard drive and a laptop or whatever goes away, and literally every bit of information, every photograph, every video you own, basically being able to fit into a really small kind of USB key. So the idea that you have data stored back at your house on a laptop or on some kind of a offline disk storage place, you literally are carrying your personal cloud in these next-generation storage devices. And it transforms what does computing look like and how do you operate on your data and how do you share data and how do you secure privacy and all of these issues. So again, talking about the technologies I think are going to have the biggest impact, AI, light field displays, and then these next generation storage, the whole concept of what does that mean. So stay tuned. We'll get into this conversation until we get back.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with regards to the talk that I gave yesterday here in New York City, talking about everything from technologies that I think are going to have the biggest impact to education to healthcare. This segment, we're going to talk about education. And education is a unique, an interesting area. It's one that I'm personally passionate about. One, I've got five grandkids, and I'm thinking, spending a lot of time thinking about how, what's the best way to prepare them so that when they are on their own as adults, they've got careers and opportunities, et cetera, right? It's a thing that parents think about. It's a parent thing that grandparents think about. Now, in my case, for all three of my kids, my wife and I made the decision to homeschool them. So from the time of kindergarten, the first time my kids ever sat in a classroom was the first day of college. Now, people always say, wow, that was great. You know, you had all that time. Look, I had probably the easiest part of this. My part in this whole the home education piece was to make the income so that my wife could stay home and take care of the kids and homeschool them. You know, I was on, my career was always heavy on travel, et cetera. Fortunately, because they were homeschooled, my kids could travel with me. So they got to go to spend a significant amount of time in different cities around the U.S. They've been to Europe with me. You know, et cetera. So they had that benefit. But even then, in giving them a worldview, they had a fairly traditional kind of education model, right? You know, pick a career, go deep, learn it, et cetera. The question that I think a lot about is how do we prepare the students for the future? How do we prepare? When you think about kids that are in first grade, second grade, third grade today, that in 10, 15 years from now, they're going to be, you know, out on their own, right? So what is it you do today that's going to impact 15 years from now? The question I run up against is, how do I prepare a student for the future for a job that does not yet exist using a technology that has not yet been invented to solve a problem we don't even know exists? Think about that for a second. How do you prepare a student for 15 years from now for a job that doesn't yet exist using a technology that has not yet been invented to solve a problem we don't even know exists? And think about it. It impacts what's the job of that future, what's the technology of that future, and what kind of problems are they going to have to solve? Now, in past shows, I've talked a little bit about maybe some ideas around different new kinds of job titles that may come up in the next 5, 10, or 15 years. But fundamentally, I believe that the educational model needs to change. It's no longer about memorization. It's no longer about facts. and memorizing a formula and those types of things. It's no longer about, at least in my opinion, locking into a single career or even industry of, you know, area, because I think the workforce of the future, the jobs of the future, are going to be fairly fluid. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that has attributed to my success, my career success, is literally the number of industries that I have been involved in. I started off in computer-based training in a division of Prentice Hall Publishing. I went to Silicon Valley, again, still working in computer-based training. Then I did stand-up training. Then I did software. I was doing software products. Then I did contracted R&D. Then I did security. I was in the biometric security field. Then I was in supercomputing area. Then I went into telecom systems, back office systems. Then I went to telecom consult, you know. So, I mean, I kind of moved all over the place. Some of you may think, oh, my God, you know, he's bouncing all over the place. You know, he couldn't settle in. Actually, I think it was one of those attributes, because I could bring and stitch together random things from across these industries to help other industries. It's like we teach in the Innovation Bootcamp, thinking about what industry is analogous to yours that you can learn from. And having that experience and working in a bunch of different industries as part of my process of getting my education, quote, education, was having all those experiences and connecting all those dots that I think had a huge impact in my career. So if you had to think about it, how would you prepare a student for the future for a job that doesn't yet exist, using a technology that hasn't yet not yet been invented to solve a problem we don't even know exists? It's not about skills. It's not about memorization. You don't know what the job is. You don't know what the technology is going to be. You don't know the problem. So how do you prepare them? It's around critical thinking skills, how to think creatively, how to collaborate, how to investigate, how to maintain natural curiosity. All of these elements have to come together, and that's what's going to drive education success. So this focus on the traditional memorization, et cetera, is not applicable. Look, I can go and I can do a Google search. I don't have to remember my calculus or my differential equations, you know, work from college, because I can go quickly Google it. I can probably find a YouTube video to kind of refresh my memory, and off you go. I'm big into online training. I'm a fan of MasterClass. If you're not familiar with it, check it up online. But I also got Creative Live. We got Udemy. We've got all these abilities to learn skills that we didn't learn, right, when I need to learn them, or they're part of my natural curiosity. So from that standpoint, critical thinking skills are really going to be the thing that we need to teach. We need to encourage curiosity. We need to encourage creativity. It's not about memorizing a formula and knowing, you know, the core curriculum or any of those types of things. Some of those are important. I get it. But I think critical thinking skills that allow people to look at any kind of a problem and derive a solution, and do that as just kind of a second nature, I think that becomes really part of, you know, the absolute critical skill set that all students need to have in order to be successful in this changing world. So again, think about that just for a second. How would you prepare a student for the future for a job that doesn't yet exist, using a technology not yet invented to solve a problem we don't even know exists? So what are the jobs of the future? What is the technology of the future? What are the problems of the future? It's not about knowing the answers to all of those. It's about thinking about each one of those critically, and then being able to use your thinking skills, your creativity, and your curiosity to go find those solutions for the future. With that, we'll be right back after this.
Want more business content? You need BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. With BizVod, you can watch the business videos you want to watch when you want to watch. Search for topics that interest you. Available on Roku and Web TV, and soon on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, iOS, and Android. With BizVod, you don't have to wait for business content. You are in control with hundreds of business shows and clips available on demand. Log on to BizVod today and use promo code RADIO for your first month free. That's right, for a limited time, your first month is free with no obligation. You can cancel anytime. Membership to BizVod is only $49.95 for the year. That's less than $5 a month. Again, the promo code for your first 30 days free is RADIO. BizVod, the place for business videos on demand. Log on to BizVod.com and join today.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done! Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness, or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. We are continuing our conversation talking about the speech that I gave yesterday here in New York City at the Marriott Marquis. Talked already about what innovations I thought are going to have the biggest impact on people's lives. And then I got a follow-up question with regards to education and what is the education of the future going to look like. And then the third question was around healthcare. Now, healthcare is not one I normally get a lot of questions about, but given the audience and their interest, particularly with staffers for congressmen and senators in the room, plus industry people in the room, it became an interesting side conversation. I got this as a follow-on after my talk. Because what you find about healthcare is it tends to be something that is a very personal innovation. In many cases, people are saying, hey, I've got a mother, I've got a grandmother, I've got an aunt who is having some medical issues but still wants to live in their home, live independently. What do I know that's out there? It tends to be very personal. When people come up to me and ask about healthcare, I can usually, through a series of questions, quickly figure out that it's something, you know, that they're dealing with in their own personal life. So why is this such a hot topic right now? One is aging population, not just here in the U.S., but you can also look at Japan, you can look at France, where the aging of the population, people over the age of 70, is growing at such a rate. And because of low birth rates, there aren't the younger generations who, one, are normally feeding the economy, and then two, who aren't around to provide any kind of care services. The other fact is that there's just a lack of facilities. In fact, here in the United States, the aging of the population is quickly outstripping any form of assisted living facilities that are out there. There are more people who want to get into an assisted living facility than there are facilities. And this is going to become a bigger issue. It's not getting any less. It's going to be a big issue. What are the options that people have? And then there's also just the limited resources. You know, the old traditional, the kids, the grandkids move back in to help take care of you. You know, those are still around, but the traditional hiring of caregivers, hard to do. We dealt with this with my parents who had both severe medical issues. My wife ended up giving up her nursing career to stay home to take care of my parents until they both passed on. We were extremely fortunate that my wife was able and willing to do that, to sacrifice her career to take care of my parents for over 5 years before they passed on with severe medical issues. But for a lot of families, particularly with low birth rates, are there kids around? Some people have made choices not to have children. What are they to do? If there's no facilities and you don't have family around to help take care of you as you age, what are your options? So one of the things that I think been thinking a fair amount about for the last, 3 to 4 years, is around what I refer to as aging in place. How do you help somebody live a fulfilling, independent life as they age? So they do not have to move out of their house. They can stay in the house that, quote, is their home, maybe where they raise their kids or the house that they've always just had, right? They want to stay where they're at. So what are those technologies that are available to help them have that independent life and live wherever it is they want to live? And they kind of fall into a couple of different areas. One is remote monitoring. Probably 5-6 years ago, one of the things we were dealing with was my grandmother in Cincinnati. How do we ensure that she's taken care of. She did not want to leave the house she was in. She lived in the house, I don't know, for something like 60 years in the exact same house. But we wanted to enable some kind of remote monitoring. You know, did she get out of bed this morning? Has she taken her medicine? Has she not tripped or fallen? Is she moving around normally, or could we detect that there's some change in her energy level or whatever? So that includes everything from video cameras maybe to IoT sensors to some form of an application that looks at all this data to see if everything's operating within certain patterns or if there's a variation of the pattern that would indicate there was some issue. Now, here's the lesson learned I got from this with my own personal issue with my grandmother was she did not want video cameras to monitor. She didn't want to be treated like a child, right? Okay, she was, you know, in her 90s. But, you know, she did not want to be treated like a child. So how do you embed these kinds of technologies in such a way that you get that monitoring without making the person feel like you're looking over their shoulder, or you're babysitting them, or you really are taking away their independence because someone is always there checking and double-checking on them? So remote monitoring, huge issue, huge opportunity for somebody to really innovate in this space. I think there's a lot of work going on, some great work that's going on, but I still think we're very early in this area. We're in the, you know, top of the first inning in a 9-inning baseball game. We are just getting started. I think there needs to be more intelligence embedded into the monitoring rather than just data collection. The second area for this whole area around innovation, assisted living, how do you bring innovation to it, is around communications. Nobody wants to be in isolation. My grandmother was never one to reach out and call any of us because she, quote, didn't want to be a burden. She didn't want to be that part of the family that everybody tried to avoid the phone calls because, you know, everybody's lives are busy and, yep, so-and-so's calling one more time. But at the same time, when you called her, she was absolutely thrilled that you called. But then odds are she didn't have her hearing aids in, which means the conversation was always, you know, extremely difficult. In fact, I got a call from a recent friend of mine whose parents are in an assistive living facility together. Now, his parents are pretty tech savvy, and they can do FaceTime off of their iPad to talk with the grandkids and stay connected. And my wife and I, we use FaceTime when we're traveling to stay connected with the grandkids and see how they're doing and check in on their day, those kinds of things. And what he was asking for is what he really wants in his facility would be like the equivalent of a phone booth that someone could go in, really, really insanely radical, simple, so that people in the facility could stay connected with their families very easily and they don't need to be tech savvy. You know, maybe like a Zoom room phone booth. I don't know. And I thought it was kind of an interesting idea, and it's actually one I've been bouncing around now on the last couple of days on if I was going to build this, what would be the technology in it, what would it contain, and how insanely easy could you make it so that, you know, your friend's grandmother or great-grandmother could easily use it and be able to stay connected. The third area is about medical. How do you monitor the medical? You know, if someone gets sent home post a surgery, how do you make sure the blood pressure and oxygenation level and all, you know, and, you know, someone's taking the right number of pills they need to be taking in order to be compliant with what the doctor has ordered, right? So how do you embed all of that kind of capability and monitoring? And there's all kinds of systems wrapped around this, but here's a situation where the technology far outstrips government's ability to create laws and rules, right? So, for instance, an e-prescription, if you wanted to change, let's say, the rate of an IV, you can send an e-subscription to the device, but to activate it, it requires a nurse to get in the car, drive to the house, walk into the house, and hit a button. So there's an example of innovation, which could change, transform people's lives. But the technology is outpacing the ability for laws and regulations to be able to support it. So that's the challenge. So hopefully you found this interesting. Again, we talked about the innovations I think are going to have the biggest impact. We talked about education and how do you prepare students today to be the innovators of the future. And then third, specifically around healthcare, what are those innovations in the healthcare space that could have the biggest impact? So don't go anywhere. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we will have a new episode of 5 Minutes to New Ideas, where we will present a question that hopefully triggers you to go off and think of new ideas, new products, and new services. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the Local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let Let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Back in the early days of this show, I would share what I called a killer question in each episode. These questions were designed to be used in your personal, team, or organization's innovation efforts. Now, based on feedback from listeners just like you, we've decided to bring it back, with some improvements. Each episode of the Killer Innovations has a segment that I'm now calling 5 Minutes to New Ideas. It's designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself, your business, and your products and services by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So, get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. I'm an innovation guy. It may not say so on my business card, but that's what I do. I encourage people, whether inside my own organization or in my meetings with organizations around the world, to accept the fact that their products are going to have to change. No matter how popular and successful your work is, things change. Things will always change. The economy shifts, your customers' needs evolve, technologies become redundant, and entirely new innovations are invented. All organizations need to be prepared for the inevitable evolutions in your business and your product if you're going to succeed. Amazon has been brilliant at refining what they do and how they do it to reflect the changing criteria of who they are doing it for. This kind of flexibility is to be expected in the formative, pliable, early years of a business or industry, what some may call pivoting. What's impressive, though, is that Amazon has retained that spirit even as they've solidified their dominance in an ever-growing list of services and products they have brought to the market. The first phase of Amazon era addressed readers' criteria and the hassles in the mid-90s. They made it easy to buy any book, no matter how niche or obscure, thereby undercutting Barnes & Noble and Borders to offer a cheaper product and saving you a trip to the mall in the process. Mission accomplished. This very simple what, which was cheaper books, huge selection, delivered to your door, worked. Since then, they've diversified the products offered to the point where they are essentially an online department store. They've experimented with everything from a search engine such as A9, that didn't work out, to allowing small booksellers a chance to list their books on their site. Their Amazon Mechanical Turk service allows individuals to make money by offering their service in tiny increments of time. Have 5 minutes free? Make a little money transcribing a 2-minute podcast. Whether any of these what's are really a good idea is up for debate. Amazon's detractors argue that they are diluting their core message and product. I'd counter that they are taking risks and exploring new uses for their existing infrastructure. Much of Amazon's explorations in creating new value are based around a tweak of this killer question, which goes something like, is there unused space in my existing infrastructure that could be filled? Amazon has vastly more server capacity than they generally need in order to address the requirements at peak times, such as the Christmas holiday season or Black Friday. As a result, they have taken their cue from companies like Rackspace and Media Temple and have begun renting their servers to provide infrastructure for third-party websites. Their leap from selling books and other real goods to getting into the computing infrastructure business was totally unexpected. But it has worked out very well. Amazon S3 is very successful and lots of companies use it. As long as you have a credit card number, you can have servers and storage. Amazon can easily allocate you more space on the servers as your business grows and you need more capacity. In fact, this has become so successful that leading tech companies such as Microsoft and HP found themselves with an unanticipated competitor that was beating them in their own markets. The lesson here is to avoid being pigeonholed into any one set of services. Take a look at any unused resource you have available. Some non-traditional areas to look include unused real estate, unused space even in your delivery trucks, and maybe unused capacity in your call centers. Is there any way that you could offer these to your customers as an auxiliary service to your main business? Finding ways to offer underused resources as a service and see income where they would otherwise be none is absolutely brilliant. These explorations might not yield big payoffs, but the point is that you need to be constantly looking at new ways to stay ahead of the trends that are shaping your industry. So pause for a minute and ask yourself, and I mean really ask yourself, is there unused space in my existing infrastructure that could be filled? To help uncover the non-obvious ideas, ask yourself, are there year-round or seasonally based un- or underused assets or capabilities in your company? What customers or partners or suppliers could benefit from having access to those assets? And what business model would you need in order to promote, sell, or support a set of products or services around these unused assets? You might be surprised what you find as you dig in this area of leveraging your unused assets. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. Now, the reason I've been doing this show since 2005 is to pay back my early mentor by paying it forward. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he just laughed and said I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. This episode of Killer Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog over at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.